Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed. My faith grows stronger. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And I learn how to be an overcomer. We shouted about that yesterday's class, about being a winner. And it is something to shout about.
Yes.
And the Master, Jesus, has overcome sin, death, hell, right?
Yes.
He has overcome it all.
Yes.
And He did it for us.
Yes.
So His victory is our victory.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When He won,
we won.
We won. Glory to God.
Yes.
And what a win. What a win. It is a complete win. It is a glorious win. It is an eternal win. This win is never going away. It's never going to fade. It's an eternal victory. So we're rejoicing in that, and we're learning more about that all the time and growing in this. So get your Bible, get something to make a note with, and turn off everything else. Come into the class with us, and God, we saved you a seat right here, so I can check and make sure you're not goofing off doing something you're not supposed to be doing. I'm right here close watching you. So come on in, and let's receive and get built up more today. Lord, we ask you, all of us ask you, as touching this, agreeing together, for the utterance, for the anointing, for the direction, the revelation, for the answers, for the help, for now, and for what's to come next. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Said out loud, I am receiving.
I am receiving.
I'm getting answers.
I'm getting answers.
Today.
Today.
We've been in a series now for a number of weeks that we're calling Faith for Provision. And like we've said before, faith's got to be fed in every area of life. And no matter what's going on in this life, there are certain things you're going to keep encountering. Before your life is over, you're going to need some faith for healing.
Yes. Yes.
Hmm? For yourself and for those around you.
That's right.
To help them. But, and before this life is over, you're going to need faith for provision.
Yes.
Right?
Right?
Every day, there are certain things that you have to have, or it's going to limit you. It's going to hurt you. It's going to restrict you. And so it doesn't benefit God for us to be so sick that we can't leave the house, or that we're stuck in a hospital room. That doesn't help God. That doesn't help anybody. To do the things that He's told us to do, to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and be rich in good works,
mm-hmm. yes.
helping people on every hand, you got to be healthy.
Yes.
You got to have some strength.
Yes.
Be able to go.
Yes.
Do. That's the will of God.
Yes.
And even if you're healthy enough, but you don't have enough money to get out of the driveway, well, you're limited, right?
Yes.
You're restricted. And so the Lord wants us to have the inner peace and joy of our salvation, the physical health and ability, and the financial and material ability to be and do everything He's called us to be and do.
Amen.
Do you believe it?
Yes.
So ever so often, you want to feed your faith on healing. You keep it built up. And then every so often you want to feed your faith on provision, the material realm, because you don't want to go years and not feed your faith on these. And when you find something that really ministered to you and really stirred you up and encouraged you and quickened you, you want to hear that again, because that was something that the Lord particularly anointed for you and ministered to you. So don't hesitate to listen to or watch certain messages and certain things multiple times. especially things that, it really did something for you. Yes. Something changed for you. Well, that word of his and that anointing never goes away. And that word will never fade and change. Listen to it again. And so we've been going one after another to give you 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all. And if you haven't been with us, we've covered 18 of the 30 so far. And so if you haven't been with us, you have missed the previous 18, and that's a bunch. That's a lot. So go online, faithschool.org, and they're all there, along with a lot of other messages on faith. No charge, no cost, no commitment required. Our partners and the Lord through our partners have sown into this and have, kept it going. That's why we're still talking to you today. So join with us, but also catch up. And the great thing about, digital is that you can pause something and go and catch up or do it a piece at a time. And we've had a lot of folks tell us that they watch one of these at least every day. It's just, 20 plus minutes? And so a bite size, a supplement, yeah. A faith supplement, right? Yeah. So like I said, we've gone one by one, to reach our 30 reasons. And we started off with the Lord is my shepherd. And our last one was reason number 18. We are sure abundant provision is always God's will for us all because we've been redeemed from the curse. And we kind of got stuck on that one, and we stayed there for a few weeks because it's just so great. It's just so wonderful, so powerful. And one of the things we kept seeing was, if it's a curse, there's no way it could ever be God's will for you, right? And we saw beyond question, lack is a curse. Poverty is a curse. Losing what you've got is a curse. Going without, going hungry, it's not a blessing in disguise. A curse can never be a blessing.
Amen.
No, it's a curse. And the great news about that, Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Oh, hallelujah. And the next verse says, so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentile. So we got redeemed from the curse, and we got qualified for the blessing.
Yes.
Woo! Lost the curse, got the blessing.
Yes.
Come on, somebody said out loud, I am not cursed.
I am not cursed.
The curse has no place.
The curse has no place.
In me.
In my life.
In my life. The blessing of the Lord.
The blessing of the Lord.
Is on me.
The favor of the Lord
surrounds me.
And good things
are happening for me.
Today.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. If you believe that, it makes you happy.
Yes.
So we're down to reason number 19. Anybody think we should talk about it now?
Yes.
Reason number 19 in our study of 30. We are sure, we are fully persuaded that abundant provision is always God's will for us all because of the tabernacle. The tabernacle. Now in the Scripture, sometimes people get them mixed up, but there is the tabernacle that happened first, and then there is the temple, which is a much bigger and a more elaborate structure. But when God delivered his people out of Egyptian bondage and he got them to the Mount Sinai and God met with them personally, the Almighty came down and rested on the mountain there. And the thing, the Bible said, burned like a furnace shooting up into the air. And it said the ground shook and quaked Well, I reckon so. When God sits down on a hill, you're going to know it. And that's when he spoke to them out of the fire. And the whole bunch heard the audible voice of God. And what he spoke was what we call the Ten Commandments. And if you go to Exodus, the 24th chapter, Exodus 24 is where this is recorded. And if you've never read this, oh, you should. And don't scan it. Turn everything else off. And I know that's saying something in this day of beeping and flashing and phones and devices and all that. But don't let yourself be perpetually interrupted. Give God's things your full attention. They deserve it. You should show that respect to them. In Exodus 24, let's start in verse 16. The glory of the Lord, it abode upon Mount Sinai. The cloud covered it 6 days, and the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. The sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount in the eyes of the children of Israel. Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. And this is when the law was given. You hear some people today speak disrespectfully about the law and lightly. Oh, the law, we're not under the law. That's a truth. But when you say it like that, you're not showing respect. There was never anything wrong with the law. The law is perfect. The law is spiritual. The law is righteous and holy and good. And the way that God gave it was to mark mankind and the planet forever, the way he gave it and the way it was revealed. But notice in the 25th chapter, immediately upon this happening, the Lord spoke to Moses and said, "Speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering." Hold up. You'll hear people say, "Well, God don't care about those things." Man, he used to. "Bring me an offering," God says. This is one of the most glorious situations that anybody has experienced, especially physically, outwardly, on earth, period. And this is what God brings up. "Bring me an offering of every man that gives it willingly with his heart, you'll take my offering." You know, all the way back to the creation of man and the beginning of mankind, after the fall, we see that Cain and Abel were bringing offerings. This is just what, chapter 3 or so, and 4 and 5? Earliest of times, why are they bringing offerings? Who told them to bring an offering? Where did they get that from? It's the enemy that mocks offerings, that belittles offerings. Now, granted, there are some people that just, you know, they talk wrong about money and they talk too much about money and they're trying to manipulate folks to give to them. There's some wrong things, but it doesn't do away with the real. It doesn't change the fact that offerings are God's idea. Amen. Always have been. And there's important, big things involved with them. And we see that when Cain and Abel brought their offerings to the Lord, and Abel's offering was a much better offering because he brought it in faith, and his faith was shown in that he went to extra effort to give the best, and it made Cain so mad it wound up to him opening the door to the devil, and the first murder on the planet was him killing his own brother over the offering. So don't tell me that offerings don't matter. Right. Why would this have happened this way? See, the devil hates this. The devil is covetous, and he's a thief. And he has claimed everything of value on the earth. And he tries to withhold it and steal it and keep it from anybody anywhere. And he's acting like the God of this world. It's not God withholding material things and nice things from us. It's the devil. He's the hinderer. He's the thief. He's the withholder. And so God says, in the midst of this glorious, awesome, fearful manifestation of God himself speaking out of the fire, he says, tell them to bring me an offering of everybody that gives it willingly. This was not forced. He's quick to say, if they bring it willingly. And oh, this is what, this has solved so many problems. You'll hear people sometimes talking about, you know, well, in the New Testament, they had all things common. And so they think that's a justification for socialism and communism. Let's just, everybody is equal share. Well, how are you going to do that? Well, you take it from people that have it. And you distribute it the way you think it ought to go. No, that did not happen in the book of Acts. Nobody made them do anything. Nobody took anything from them and gave it to somebody else. Taking things from people by force against their will is devilish.
Amen.
Of the enemy. It's not God. It's not God. God's big on this. If you don't want to do it, no matter if you should do it, if you ought to do it, if it'd save your life to do it, he won't make you. He won't force you. He won't force you to do things against your will. That'd make him like the enemy. He won't do it. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? But if you're smart, you'll do it willingly. You'll do it, and you'll do it willingly and gladly. But he made this opportunity. And so why am I saying that? Well, all offerings, should we have offerings today? Yes, we should. It's all through the Word of God. Should we try to coerce people or guilt people or manipulate people? You better not. Absolutely not. It should always be obvious that this is free will. Right? You either want to do it or you don't do it. Hmm? And our job as leaders is not to try to talk people into giving. Our job is to present the vision, to get the vision and declare the vision and communicate the vision, to show the value of it. Huh? And it's God's job, it's the Holy Spirit's job to deal with people if they should be involved and how much and to what degree. But you know, the way we do it in our churches and ministries, we don't even ask. We don't ask for money. We don't ask for help. Don't have to. Don't need to. Are y'all with me here or not?
Yes, sir.
So, well, you have offerings. With the, sometimes people think because you have an offering, you're asking. No, it's not the same thing. If we're doing a project in the church or the ministry, that's not just my project. That's not just my wife and I's project. That's the church's project. Well, does the church need to know what they're believing for?
Yes.
Or the partners need to know what they're believing for? My job is to seek God and get the direction and get the wisdom, what to do and how to do it. And then to believe God, pray and believe God and use faith for utterance, to express it, to tell it, to show it, to declare it? Is it my job to deal with the people to give? No, that's God's job. Right? That's God's job. Who, how, when? But it's easier to just be lazy and just get up and say, give. You need to give. Please give. That's easier being lazy than it is to get the vision and go to the effort to find how to communicate this and show the preciousness of it, show the value of it, the importance of it. He said, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering. He used to like offerings. He used to want offerings. How many think he still does? When did he change? Where did he change? And he's specific. He said, of every man that gives it willingly with his heart, you'll take my offering. In other words, if you can tell they're bringing it willingly, then you can receive it. You know, there's been some offerings at times we did not receive because we did not discern that they were doing it right or it was the right motive. Sometimes people are trying to buy something. And that's not okay. But willingly. And this is the offering which you shall take of them. Gold, silver, brass, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skin, shittim wood, and that's acacia wood. Oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set in the ephod, the breastplate. He's talking about precious gems and sizable ones. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show you after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall you make it. So one of the first things that he told them was, let's have an offering. And we're going to build a sanctuary. We're going to build a tabernacle. And he did not leave anything open to random. He's very specific about, I mean down to the inch, basically, the dimensions and the layout, the articles, and the materials they were to be made from, and the materials were the best of the best. Best of the best. He talks about pure gold, not just gold, pure gold. The acacia wood, that's some of the best wood you could get. It's really hard, and it's pest and moisture resistant and beautiful. Silver, the best leathers, the best fabrics, the best connection. I mean, even the mounting brackets, if you want to call them that, they were either gold or silver or bronze, or the least thing was brass. And the whole thing was just the best of the best. Now, why are we talking about that? Well, that was God's choice. You know, he could have saved a lot of money if he would have went some more common materials. Right? Do you have to make everything out of gold? Pure gold? I mean, like the lampstand. It wasn't overlaid with gold. It was gold. The whole thing was gold, and it was big. Go all of the spoons and the utensils and the tongs, gold, 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 everywhere you look, gold. Now, whose idea was that? Who came up with that? That wasn't Moses. That wasn't any of the prophets or any of the elders. I don't think Moses had any idea at all that that's what God was going to tell him right off the bat when he's up here in the glory with the fire shooting up into heaven. Huh? And he's thinking, oh, you know, how would you even feel in a situation like that? And God says, Okay, now. We're going to have an offering. Oh, okay. And we're going to build a sanctuary, a tabernacle, where I'll meet with you. And it's got to be not here. Not here. Huh? Best of the best. Of the best. Now, you know, we got some nice buildings, but it's not all gold. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And yet, if you did, I mean, what if we put solid gold doors
yes.
on the sanctuary?
Yes.
You might need some guards
yes.
to stay out there with them. But you think that might be talked about?
Oh, yes.
Oh brother, think you'd make the news?
Yes.
Why? People would start hollering, that could have been sold and given to the poor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, this could have been given to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
All this gold, all these precious jewels, all this money. We're going to get into some detail about how much it was and what it was. Couldn't that have been given to the poor?
Sure.
Couldn't have God said, no, we'll just go with a basic pine. and, you know, and lesser materials. And we'll give all that money to the poor. Couldn't he have done that? Could he have done that if he had wanted to?
Sure.
You see, these are religious ideas that are hypocritical. They're wrong. God can do both.
Yes.
I said he can do both.
Yes.
He can do things over the top, nice and beautiful and fine, and help people in need
yes.
too. He's big enough
Amen.
To do it all. Do you believe it, child
yes.
of God? Say, I believe it.
I believe it.
And our time's up again. You got to come back tomorrow and find out about this tabernacle because it is rich, rich, rich. Well, say it out loud. I live by faith. I walk by faith. I overcome the world by faith. I am strong in faith, giving glory to God. Yes, you are. We'll see you again soon back here in Faith.
I've got
thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.